Let's have a look at the next module, which is about top-down parsing in general. So we've said that there is one way of coming up with an automaton M for a particular language G that follows the leftmost derivation approach, and that would be the so-called item pushdown automaton. So this is one that tries to reconstruct a leftmost derivation for a particular grammar for a particular input. So what this will do is it will expand the sentence form that we have so far non-deterministically by applying a rule to a non-terminal in the syntax form. So we step by step do expansions of non-terminals. Still, since this is a non-deterministic approach, we need to worry about whether we succeed with that particular run of the automaton, and that can be done by verifying step by step whenever we reach leave of the derivation tree that the terminal there matches the terminal of the input that remains to be matched. So, with that in mind, how can we do that? For that, we introduce a new concept that we will make use of a lot in the next few modules. So, better remember that. We introduce a thing that we call an item. What is an item? An item is usually some rule together with a bullet somewhere at the right-hand side of the rule. So, how do we denote them? We usually have these square brackets around, and at some point we will find bullet somewhere at the right-hand side of a rule of a particular grammar. So what do we mean when we talk about these items? Well, these items are placed at the right-hand side of a rule to mark how far we have already proceeded during matching the right-hand side of a particular rule to the input. So, the whole yield of some alpha part of such an item that is to the left of the bullet is already successfully matched to the input, whereas the better part's yield is so far not matched with the input so far and needs to be still matched in order for the whole rule's yield to be matched with the input, thus having processed its share of the input. How can we apply that to examples? Let's have a look of what we actually want to achieve. So we have an example grammar here with three rules. S going to AB, A going to terminal A, B going to terminal B. Yeah. And derivation tree for that in this looks like start with S, choose the zeroth rule yielding AB, and in left derivations we then have a look at A, and this will then produce terminal A. And then we continue with the right-hand side, which produces also B. So in order to do a left derivation on that tree, what we would have to do is we would have to do a depth-first search in that way through the trees with all these little bubbles here being steps in or events in the depth first search, be it pre-order events or post-order events. So the ones that are in front are like pre-order events, the ones that are after a particular node are post-order events, and then there might even be like little ones in between that don't belong to either pre-order or post-order, so somewhat in between. So, yeah, for an automaton that tries to simulate such a run and at the same time verify that the output is matched, what would we have to do? We would have to somehow simulate this depth-first search on the automaton, and that is what we can do by looking at these little bubbles as states of an automaton that tries to follow this leftmost derivation. Yeah, and in order to do so, the automaton has certain rules that how he can do transition between these states, and those are rules that are, of course, if you look at that, determined by the structure of the derivation tree, which is given by the actual rule set of the gram. Yeah, so there's certain rules how to set up these transitions, and each time that the automaton passes from pre-order to post-order bullet, I already say here, bullet, of such a terminal symbol or leaf, then the automaton can consume input from the input tape in order to say that this part of the input has been successfully matched against the so far reconstructed derivation. Yeah. So what then remains is to see how the transition relations translate from like this intuitive graphical view into a formal transition set. And this is what you see here. So we now make use of our newly introduced concept of items in order to represent states of an automaton, particularly of a pushdown automaton. So if we use items for states of pushdown automaton, what we get is the so-called item pushdown automaton. Yeah? This is an automaton working on items. The start state is one that we arbitrarily add to the whole thing. Well, arbitrarily, specifically add to the whole thing to be like a new symbol S prime going to the old start symbol. Why do we do that? Well, we want to make sure that we only talk about one variant for our right-hand side. So we want to make sure that it's just one singular rule that is used for it in order to specify one end state and one start state. Otherwise, if we would drop that, this, there might be grammars out there that directly have alternate productions on the root node, which by some means makes our further constructions a lot more cluttered. So as kind of a technical construction here, we just add another rule that's always just one rule, a singular rule that is there for starting and ending the automaton. So you don't have to really see a lot of reason that it's just a technical construction that we do there. It doesn't matter for the whole concept. So yeah, you might as well just ignore the transition that comes out of that, or the transitions that come out of that for now, and instead focus on the original ones, because this thing just adds another layer of productions on there. And here we also don't have any alternations in the grammar, so yeah, doesn't matter for our purposes by now. So this is just technical for start and end state we set. So this is how we define our start state and end state. Now, the transitions of the automaton, how do those look like? And for that, we have a look at, for example, this line here that corresponds to our former topmost level. And what it does is it emanates from the item S that goes to bullet AB. So the bullet is on the left-hand side of the right-hand side, so here. And what it does is it replaces the push down with it doesn't only replace it, rather adds a new item on top of the push down, which is the one found over here. So it adds another item, A goes to bullet A. And this is what we consider one of these navigational transitions in the derivation tree. So we connect the bullet in front of the S goes to AB with a bullet in front of the A goes to A. Yeah, and we find several of those kinds of transitions in our construction. So there is also this one in here, for example. So here we have a bullet in the middle between A and B. So we consider A already being successfully matched against the input. B still has to be done. In that case, what our construction says is we will connect to B goes to bullet B. Yeah, those two transitions do match with like the transition here as well as the transition here. So these are transitions that descend into the derivation tree. Yeah. So then what else is in there that we haven't matched so far? There is, for example, this line and this line. So these are lines that have something particular about them, which is that both of them consume something. They originate from a bullet that is in front of some A, for example, and end after said A. So there's a state on top of the pushdown changed, where the bullet goes from being in front of its right-hand side to the back of the right-hand side while consuming A. This is a typical transition that we have for a situation here where In principle, we're already directly working on like complete transition, like without even explicitly doing those. So those are already optimized away. So in case that we only have one right hand symbol, lowercase a, which is the terminal a, then we do directly a transition reading such an a from the input in the automaton that we see here. So this implicitly does away with those and directly works on the bullets from above. So this is another kind of transitions that we find in there. And finally, there's another one that we again has epsilon transitions. These are this transition and this transition, both of them having again epsilon as consummation, so don't consume anything, it's epsilon transitions. All they do is navigate in the derivation tree by connecting edges. What do they connect? Well, here we see that the bullet is to the right of our right hand side, and in that case what's done is this thing is removed from the push down. Instead, what we are left with is some item on top of the push down that is similar to the one underlying lying underneath the one that we have removed, with just one modification. The bullet goes one place further to the right, so it goes here. What does that correspond to? Well, this is the step where we connect here, where we have successfully worked on the one subtree of the derivation tree and re-ascend up to its parent, and a similar transition is found here. So these are the three types of transitions that we can find in there. So there was like the descending into subtrees that was done like this, the reascending, like the yellow ones, and the blue ones were like those that are the consuming ones. So with that, we can kind of try to set up a generic scheme of how a pushdown automaton can be constructed. So we said there's three kinds of transitions. First ones being the ones that would descend down into the derivation tree, and for that we use a particular name. It's the expansions. On the grammar side, we would replace a non-terminal with their right-hand side, thus expanding that non-terminal. On the derivation tree side, we would descend into a subtree. And we do that for, well, when should we really do such expansions? Well, usually when there is a subtree underneath. When is the subtree underneath? Usually when there is a non-terminal involved somehow, and when we inspect the conditions for when this thing is makes sense, we see that there is a condition for, well, there must exist a rule that has a B, so a non-terminal at the right-hand side, and for this B there is some other right-hand side also available in the productions. So for every non-terminal, so to say, we say that we want to set up such a subtree descending transition by the construct that I've framed right now. So in there, there is like the production where the non-terminal was found as an item, where the non-terminal is marked with the bullet, and we connect to an item that represents a right-hand side for that non-terminal. And we do so for every possible right-hand side that there is, non-deterministically branching and descending into all the possible subtrees for that for that derivation trees or lines that there are. So that is how we handle descending into subtrees or expansions. Then the next concept that we had was shifts. You can see how those work out in this line here. So here we have to observe in our rule set rules that have a terminal symbol in there. If there are such rules, how do we wire our automaton such that it matches against the input? For that, we said we want to have transitions that do actual matching with the input by consuming some symbol, which is conveniently exactly the symbol that we find in the production. For which items does that make sense? The items that we want to define that for are items that have the bullet as a marker in front of a terminal symbol, that is exactly the symbol that we're going to consume, and we connect it to the same version of the item where the bullet has moved on by one slot to the just directly after that terminal. So with that, we match against the input. So finally, what remains open is the last type of transitions that are reduced transitions. They're defined here, and they're defined pretty similar as the expansions are defined. So they are defined for the same conditions that we have already seen the definitions of expansions. So there needs to be occurrences of non-terminals in right-hand sides of rules, and for each variant that there is to produce from that non-terminal, we add a new edge definitions. So in that sense, we have a kind of a parallelism between expansions and reductions. For each expansion that there is, there also needs to be a reduction. Well, makes sense if you think in terms of derivation tree. Whenever you descend down into a subtree, you need to ascend back up again at some point. Yeah, so there needs to be exactly as many expansions as reductions, with like one expansion for one reduction. Yeah, and they are defined just in the reverse way. So, oh no, we start from a situation where we find ourselves with a completely matched item on top of the pushdown, and underneath there needs to be an according item that is still needing to complete matching for a particular non-terminal, and we then conceptually do to a transition over to an item where that replaces the old item here and just considers the non-terminal B being matched. Yeah. Just by the way, because we have had now mentioned this thing as being completely corresponding to a completely matched subtree, this is kind of also official terminus for this kind of item. So an item that has the bullet at its right hand side is said to be complete in that sense. So in this setting we could see the item pushdown automaton being an automaton that that shifts the bullet around the derivation tree to a certain degree. Yeah, so a little bit about observations of an item pushdown automaton and its run on a particular input and grammar. So what we have seen is that the expansions of a computation form a leftmost derivation, since we start with a bullet at the very left and then step by step work on shifting the bullet to the right one position each time. Yeah, so this will yield a leftmost derivation. However, a thing that is a little bit inconvenient for us is that although the location where we do expansions is set with that, we still choose non-deterministically which alternative we use for expansion. Yeah, so this gives us a non-deterministic pushdown automaton as a result. You might wonder whether this is actually a correct construction for our purposes, whether this automaton construction is an actual instance of an automaton that has the same semantics as the original grammar. And you're right in saying that, so for that we would still have to provide another proof of correctness for the for this construction that we could do by having to prove a particular property, particularly for every item where the bullet is in front of a non-terminal. We would have to prove that the computation steps that are performed between the item where we still have to work on the non-terminal and the item where we have closed this sub-derivation tree, that this exactly consumes everything that potentially is expanded in term rewriting terms from this non-terminal B. We won't do that here, but this would probably be like the concept to follow in order to prove that we keep the semantics that we are intending to. So with that, you might wonder, well, that's all nice and shiny with having now a non-deterministic pushdown automaton that does the same as the grammar in terms of recognition of words. How does that help us? Well, this item pushdown automaton is kind of the base frame for a whole lot of different concepts of doing parsing, which is all called LL parsing. Yeah. So this is parsing that deals with input that is read from the left to the right, and we do leftmost derivations. That's why we have LL here. Input read from the left and leftmost derivation yields LL parsing. Yeah? And this item pushdown automaton is the basic frame that is usually used for a lot of different approaches that try to tackle this particular property of the item pushdown automaton, this non-determinism. Yeah? So there's different concepts out there that try to make the expansions deterministic. So just to illustrate how this non-determinism really looks like, we now have an example here where we have now a little bit of a different grammar. Again, our artificial start state, end state production that we don't care so much about. Instead, we care more about this second rule, S goes to nothing or ASB. So, transitions of the item pushdown automaton, if we follow our concepts for setting up item pushdown automata, what are we getting is what we see here. Yeah. So you might wonder, why did I put that here? Well, to show you that there is actual non-determinism in the construction. So when would an item pushdown automaton, or in general a pushdown automaton, be non-deterministic? For that, you need several conditions. For once, they need the top of pushdown part needs to be a suffix of the other rules, top of the pushdown, and for that we find already several instances. So there is this one here, for example, this one here. Yeah, I think those are the ones that I see immediately popping up. And what else needs to be there? Well, you need to have either epsilon transitions, or the consumed terminal needs to be the same. So let's have a look at those. Well, non-deterministic epsilon transition and epsilon transition. So with that, we see that transitions 0,1 and transition 3,4 are non-deterministic in their application for expansion. So it's a problem that we get when we try to expand. And what is the cause for that problem is that, well, of course, there might be for grammars that do a little bit more than just one input word, we may find alternations on the right hand side. Well, we pretty much find those for sure. And each of those alternations that we get in each of their application for rewriting will produce choice whether to expand with left hand side or right hand side, and thus will create non-determinism in our automaton. Yeah? And with that, we've seen that the item pushdown automaton is a nice basic framework, but still needs to be some work done in order to be a valuable concept for parsing.